At our missions conference where the last night we have our missionary families come up before the church and we sort of have an interview time, if you will, discussion panel, whatever you want to call it, but just an opportunity for us to connect a little better with the missionary families and our missionary speaker, Brother and Mrs. Stedman, being here with us. And so what I would like for you to do is to be thinking of some questions. It could be for a question for all of them to answer. It could be just a particular for that field, whether it be for New Zealand, public schools in America through the Rock of Ages. And then also we have there in New Zealand and Mozambique. Those are the other two countries that you could ask questions about. And it could just be in general. And so I have a few things that I'll ask. And what we'll do, just to keep from having to pass a microphone around, you can ask your question out, and then I will relay that question as well through the system, the audio system, so that everyone can hear it and it be clear. So at this time, why don't we go ahead and have our missionary families come up to the platform and have a seat, and then we'll get started with that. Brother and Mrs. Stedman can come as well, and we'll introduce you guys once again. You can pick anywhere you'd like, red, yellow, brown, or green. It's up to you. And so I'll just go ahead and begin by introducing our missionaries. Here on the my far left is the Stedman, Bud and Ruth Stedman with Baptist World Mission. And they are the Brother Stedman is the director of this mission board, and we're grateful that he could be here, and Ms. Ruth as well. And then we have the Soseby family, Rock of Ages, prison ministry, but their focus through Rock of Ages ministry is the public schools of the state of Georgia. And they oversee just the state of Georgia, and God's doing a great work there. It's been good to have them here. Also, the Bankston family, thankful for them going to New Zealand. And Logan and Brittany are very close to going, just coming up in November as of yesterday, right? just finding out that news and thankful for how the Lord is moving in their lives. And then, of course, to Mozambique. We're thankful for Noah and Tristan and grateful for how the Lord is moving them. They're just getting really started. Been at it 6 months now, Brother Noah, on deputation. And so again, this is an opportunity for our church. We've heard their presentations, and maybe there's been a question that you've had been meaning to ask. And so we're going to go ahead and start off now. Would somebody like to start us off with a question? And yes, Becky? Uh-huh, New Zealand. So the question Ms. Becky asked, Bankston's, are you guys planning churches? Are you taking an existing church and just plan on pastoring? What exactly is your goal going there? You might have to push it down. Is that mic? Does he have to turn that on?
All right.
There you go.
This is on. Okay. So our plan when we go back, so the immediate plan will be that we were going to be working with another missionary. Actually, the church that we helped my parents plant in Masterton, we're going back to that work. While because we didn't know that we were going to be missionaries in New Zealand, I had said the other night that we thought God called us to be missionaries in Vanuatu, and then God changed all that. That another missionary, the Judds, are there, and we've known them for a long time. They were on the South Island, and so they are there. We're looking at working with them, and then eventually there's two possible things that could happen. We could either work with them and partner with them, similar to the Pipers and the Comstocks do, and kind of have this partnership so that when one goes on furlough, there's still a pastor that's pastoring the church and that. But if for whatever reason in a few years or so, we feel that eventually we do feel that God is calling us to go up north to Gisborne, the north right-hand side. There's about 150,000, 200,000 people in that region. There's a city of Gisborne and also the region of Gisborne. and there's no good gospel-like Bible-preaching churches there. And so we're looking at planting several churches in that area, whether partnered with them going up or going up on our own.
So you will be basically, when you get there, you'll be pastoring that church that has been planted.
Yes.
And is still a young, it's still a baby church.
There's only about 13 people right now.
Right.
And so they're having to leave on the 28th of this month to go back. And by the time we get through quarantine, it will be the 1st of December before we're there. So the church will be without a pastor for,
sure,
for that time.
Now, with that small of a church, 13 people, are they becoming understanding local autonomy? Are they, as far as like their offerings, would it be able to pay the bill, maybe the light bill or something? Are they?
Right. From what I understand, talking to the judge, there are people that are tithing, but it hasn't quite got to that.
Sure.
I believe it's paying the rent there. They're meeting in at a.
Sure.
They're actually meeting in a library at a primary school, which
okay.
is an elementary school.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good. Amen. Thank you, brother. Next question is, and maybe we can just start off with Noah and Tristan with this one. What do you foresee as being your greatest challenge on the field of Mozambique? I know there'll be many, of course, but maybe what do you foresee as being one of the greatest challenges there?
Sure. So one of the greatest challenges we're foreseeing is they have one official language. It's Portuguese. Obviously, that's official language. It's what most people are trying to gravitate towards. But there's 40 other tribal languages all throughout the country. So when we're in the cities, Portuguese is going to be pretty easy to preach and teach in. But when we get into the tribal, more rural work, that's when we're going to probably run into problems with language. So Lord willing, that's why we're going to get some young men that know the language well and train them in the Bible so they can go back to their villages and their people to take the gospel back to them. We'll learn Portuguese, and we're going to try to focus on the language of Changani, which is a tribal language there in the southern part of Mozambique. And that's probably the most we're going to get, to be honest with you. And so then we'll see what the Lord does. But then Lord willing, we'll have some young men that will be able to train, that know their language, and then go back to their people. So I think that'll probably be one of the bigger challenges looking into the ministry.
Amen. Somebody else have a question I'd like to ask? Yes, Brother Charles?
Just before the substitutes, when you're teaching in the classroom, does the teacher stay in the classroom with you, or do you have the class to yourself?
Great question. Yes, generally the teacher stays in there. So what they do is they monitor the classroom, but at that time, and this is another reason why the teachers love us to be in the classroom, is it gives them an opportunity to catch up on grading, any kind of scheduling, classwork that they can do, and they don't have to worry about monitoring the kids, but they are there with us. So if anything was to be said, any kind of problems arise, they're there to take care of it, although they do give us the opportunity to call a kid down or anything like that as well if we need to. They are there. But they get to. We have one teacher in particular, and I'll say this real quick, that he gets his study Bible out, and last time we were there, he's studying through the book of Peter, 1 Peter, and he got to do that while we're teaching that day. So all day long, him and some other friends are texting back and forth, studying through the Bible. So that gives them an opportunity to be able to exercise and practice their faith in the public
Amen.
School while we're there. And that makes them feel comfortable because we're there in the school doing what we're doing.
That's right. And we have public school teachers in our church. And one of the other things that Lamar explained to me, that when they go in to the classroom to teach on character, as they are speaking with the students, as the questions of religion may come up, and maybe give an example of a kid may ask something, and he says, "Yeah, I know something about that," and then it opens it up.
Sure. So an example of that, just this past Tuesday, last week, we were in one of our schools, and lesson we was teaching on, and one of the kids had we were talking about a home. And one of the kids had brought up, well, I think that God should be the center of our home. And so I get to ask the question as well, explain, what do you think that might be? What do you think an example of God being the center of the home? And at that opportunity, that kid
begins to explain the plan of salvation and giving your life to Christ and a family going to church and all of those things. And all the while, you have 21, 22 other students in the classroom. And it's legal to do that. And we thank God for that opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Good. Thank you so much. Somebody else have a question for me? Miss Tanya? That's okay. I can repeat your question. What kind of the question was, what kind of pushback have they received by going into the schools? The question was to the SOSABES.
Sure. And you know, the reality is we really don't have a lot. Because number one, we're teaching in a neutral fashion. So everything's neutral. We go in teaching character. So while we're teaching character, what parent doesn't want their kids coming home and acting better? And what right. principal and what teacher doesn't want better students? And what we found, and we have statistics because Rock of Ages have been in the schools now for about 25 years, we have statistics that show that a school that we've been in for over 2 years, their tardiness is down, their detentions are down. We're talking about 0.1 is all they have in the schools that we've been in for over 2 years. We bring those levels down because we deal with the issues. So, give you a quick example on that. We had a kid that we've been teaching in this school a while, and a kid jumps up and takes out ahead of the line, second grade. So he broke line. So he runs out the door, and the teacher turns the whole class around and brings them back in. They're not going to recess now. They've done messed up. But on the way in, she said, Can you give us something on line break? And I'm like, okay, yeah, we got one, Randy in a Rush. So the next time we come in, we're teaching on that subject. Mm. And that's what the teachers love about it, because character is what we're building. So what the kids talk about doesn't really come in the forefront of the teachers or even the parents' mind as far as religion and those other things. We really don't have a lot of pushback. Now, I'm not saying there's no opposition. There's always some. But God usually removes those oppositions and works those things out. The character way outweighs any problems that we have on those aspects.
Amen. Amen. This is a question maybe more so for the Wilkersons and the Bankstons, just going to a foreign land, different culture, different customs. I'll start with you, Brother Noah. What are some customs of the people that you will adapt to reach them better? They don't violate any biblical truths or anything, but some things that you normally wouldn't do here but are planning on doing there to just better relate and connect with the people of Mozambique.
Sure. One of the things, we live in a Western society and we're very fast and very efficient with almost everything we do. It's like quick, 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 snap, 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 get things done. One thing when we were over there, I was talking to the missionary, and we were serving the country, and we were talking about evangelism and going door-to-door evangelism. You know, we can take a bus and knock out a neighborhood within a couple hours. You know, we can get it done pretty quick. He said, evangelism here is going to be a little different. You go knock on a door, and they're going to pull a chair out, and they're going to want to sit and talk with you about 45 minutes, and the conversations are just going to be longer and drawn out. The timetable is just going to be a lot different. They're not going to be near as effective and efficient as you would be. So breaking down that cultural barrier of just getting things done efficiently and effectively, right, the way we would here in America, is going to have to take a back seat to reach those people effectively with the gospel, and to take time out of my day just to sit down and talk with people and just take them where they're at. You know, they're not going to understand things the way I'm going to understand it, or even the way Tristan's going to understand it. Mothering is going to be different, and being a wife's probably going to be a little different. But conforming to their culture, I'm not going to try to come and Americanize Mozambique. Right, that's not my goal. My goal is to evangelize Mozambique with the gospel of Christ, and so to do that effectively, we're going to put our preferences and a lot of our culture down to the side and just kind of morph into them and to become them, to reach them. And I think a great picture of that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, He could have come down from the throne of heaven and try to make everybody the same as it was in heaven, but he knew that was going to happen. So he came. He knew the Jewish language and the Jewish culture and became like the people, lived among them for 30 years. and then began to open up a public ministry and reach the people with the culture that they were in. And so that's a little bit of what we're going to be doing, if that answers the question adequately.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's for Tristan. Tristan, you know, a lot of people think of Africa. They think of bush, third world, in the sense of no electricity, no running water. It is that way in some places in Africa. But what about you? How's your house going to be? Your setup? Are you going to have, you know, a kitchen with electricity and be able to cook and things? Can you tell us a little bit about what you're...
Yeah, so the missionary we visited, I got to spend some time. Miss Joan had already prepared the meal, but she helped me with, let me help her with dessert. And so she does have electricity. They were in their 70s, so, you know, they chose to not have a washer and dryer. She loved to hang her laundry, and it doesn't really rain there. There's a flood season for a short period of time. But so a lot of things they chose not to have electricity for, but they do have electricity. So some houses we looked at while we were there, spent some time just kind of looking around and seeing, would be, you know, a good middle class there. You know, it wouldn't really make sense for us to live you know, in poverty there. They would be confused, you know, like they know and understand that we have more money than to live in poverty. But we don't want to come in with the mentality or attitude that we're better than them or live better than them. And so our goal is to live, you know, as far as middle class, essentially. And also welcoming them into our home. You know, one of my goals is to have some ladies in there to help me learn how to cook the way that they do, you know. So a Portuguese African meal. I have no idea. I can barely cook American meals. So, barely. And so I'm looking forward to just the different dynamics of that. And a lot of that is from scratch. And a lot of that is, you know, you can't just go by the store and even buy, you know, mac and cheese. So, you know, how do you make that from scratch? I feel like that should be obvious. I don't know how to do that. So I'm just looking forward to that. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you. And this question is for Brittany. What is one going to be your ministries there as a pastor's wife in New Zealand, as a church planner's wife? What are some ways that you're going to be able to minister to the ladies or have when you were there?
We've been there for the past 6 years, and while I was there, the first year, I was pregnant. I didn't have any children, so I just dived in and helped my mother-in-law any way I could. And I had a heart for the teen girls, because normally the teen pastor, that's who they look to, but the teen girls is kind of awkward. So I felt that hole and was able to step into that. Mm. So it was once a month, right? Once a month, I would invite them into our home, and we'd have a weekend where they would sleep over, and we would do all sorts of games and activities and crafts. Mm-hmm. Yep, teach them character principles. That would be awkward hearing it from the youth pastor, you know? But mm-hmm. hearing it girl to girl, it was a way to minister that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. I also play the piano, mm-hmm. so that was another role I could step in and help at the
church. Amen.
That too. Because I have a music background, his dad's Bible college ends with BBTP. They were lacking a music class, so I was able to teach rudimentary, basic music theory. We weren't going to get into any of the high stuff. And
sure.
They would do a block class of that for a week, and then they would come back to me, and I would teach them how to congregational song lead or how to take that to be a choral so that they could learn to teach and conduct for choirs, or if they wanted to do a little children's choir, how would you do it for that? Because it's different congregational song leading than teaching children. Mm. Totally different. So that class dealt on that.
Amen.
Those are the main ministries.
Amen.
Oh, yes. There wasn't the nursery worker, and because we were pregnant and had children, that was me. So that was my role, and I was able to. Any young mothers that came to the church, I got to one-on-one talk with them while in the nursery, and then they finally got sound system. So we were able to hear the messages, and if she had any questions, I was able to.
Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Thank you. And Mindy, your ministry helping Brother Lamar in the schools, and from that perspective, how have you been able to help and step into that role in helping in the schools?
Well, what I can teach, I do mainly pre-K through about third grade. But when we're in the high schools, you can open a door up and have a relationship with the teachers. So while he's talking, teaching students, there have been times I've been able to talk to the teachers and just open up that relationship with them. Is there anything they need? Is there something that we can help them pray about? Because you want a relationship not only with those students, but with the staff of that school, to let them know that you're there to help them also. And so the Lord's opened the door. When he's in schools where I don't teach, I have been able to talk to the staff, become friends with them. We've had staff members that have went through deaths, and we've been able to just sit there and cry with them, just to let them know that somebody Amen. Does care about them. And that there's a place that if they need help, if they need prayer, you know, we want to be there for them. So the Lord's opened that door so I can help there too.
Amen. And Lamar mentioned that you're a little better with pre-K than he is.
Oh, what?
He said he lets you handle that a lot. And I'm sure of that. Well, these have all been great. And I want to encourage you, church, you know, as you're on your way out tonight, greet them and ask any questions that you may have. And maybe even stay in contact with them if you have some more questions here in the next week. We have all their information. You have their prayer cards. Send them an email if there's something curious, because we could take a lot of time tonight. But I do want to ask one more question for the Stedmans. The Stedmans travel all over the world. They visit missionaries throughout the year. They go and they go in and spend a week with them. They spend time encouraging, counseling, mission. They know firsthand, probably more than anybody here, I would say, the struggles that missionaries go through. And Brother Stedman and even Ms. Ruth, what are some ways that we can best encourage our missionaries? It's just some thoughts there, just some ideas, some ways that we can best encourage the missionaries we're currently supporting.
Yeah, beyond the basic things of prayer support and financial support, probably would be the issue of understanding. A lot of missionaries believe that their supporting churches really don't understand what they're going through.
Mm.
They don't understand the MK struggles. They don't understand why it is taking so long to get a church planted. To some degree, they don't even understand what the missionary's role is. I think it was very interesting, the question that Becky, I think, asked. You know, Paul was a missionary, but he did some pastoral work.
Yeah,
but Paul was training young men to be pastors. So a missionary is not a pastor. And if
right.
a missionary goes to the field and pastors one church for all of his life, he's not functioning as a missionary. He's training men for that. So I think a lot of missionaries think that churches don't understand what they're doing. And so communicating with them by email, reading their prayer letters, really know what's going on in their life, and helping them to know that you really do care and understand, I think will go a great way of encouraging them.
Amen. Ms. Ruth, from a missionary ladies perspective, the ladies you've been able to work with on the field, what are some ways that the ladies of our church could be an encouragement to the missionary?
I would say email them and just introduce yourself to them. And maybe once a month or so, just tell them what's going on here at church, include them. But get to know their children.
Hmm.
Nothing's like getting to the heart of a mama. Is her children. And so if you would get to know their children, take an interest in their children, find out when their birthdays are. Sometimes missionary kids that come off the field and come to America for college get totally forgotten about. And I think even as a church, you could find out which of your missionary kids are college age and they're here in the States. Send them a care package.
Amen.
And just encourage them that way, and they'll just be blown away. Because they think once they've left, you know, That's the end.
It's so interesting that you say that, because, church, we actually have two missionary kids that are freshmen. They just started Ambassador Baptist College. The Shoemaker's daughter, I cannot think of her name right now, Emily. So Emily Shoemaker, and then also Ben Shore's daughter,
Kaylee.
And they just started. So well, that's something we could get together for them and do that. Amen. Yes.
If I could comment on that.
Sure.
When I went to Bible college here, and my dad dropped me off there in L.A. or there at West Coast, and I was in, to me, it was a completely new culture. In the 4 years I was there, I received two notes just kind of encouraging me that, and it was all from the same, that's one single bit. You know, and like was said, no other church that's what my parents were, you know, said, hey, we're praying for you. I hope everything's going well in Bible college and things like that.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I think we'll end on that one and just be challenged to that. Hey, let's get to know our missionaries better, their kids. One of the things that I know we did with Mary Ann one time, Mary Ann wrote one of the Jerkberg daughters that was on the field, and we should do more of that. I know I would like to do that with more with my kids, but you with young children, we ought to encourage our kids to send a letter to one of the missionary kids just to be a blessing. And I know that will go a long way. Well, thank you so much for these questions. This has been a joy having y'all here. And I certainly hope that God will continue to lead you. We're going to have a prayer dedication for you guys at the end of the service. And thank you guys for the questions. So we're going to go ahead and transition to a time of singing. So would you stand with me? And you guys can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you so much.